I'll call to order this meeting of the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Services. Thank you all for your patience out there. I'm sorry that we were a little delayed today. Maybe kind of a challenge that we face this whole session. I am now going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3679, which would enact an interstate compact on education opportunities for military children. If our good administrator would
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3679 makes Oregon part of the interstate compact on education opportunity for military children, applies to children enrolled in kindergarten through 12th grade who reside in the household of a parent on active duty.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Allen. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Chair Callan, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Allen, and I work at the Department of Education in the Office of the Superintendent. And I have some written testimony, which I won't read verbatim because I think I've shared some of these items with you before. Wanted to make a couple comments at the meeting a couple weeks ago, the interim committee meeting. Representative Roblin came and indicated that he and I were in some discussions about some things that we could do here in Oregon, perhaps administratively, to make this issue more clear to our districts. And I just wanted to report that Representative Roblin and I are going to be working together to craft a message to all our school districts, and we're going to try to work with the State Board of Education to clarify some of the credit transfer things that are already in administrative rule, and the department will go the extra step and designate a contact person at our agency if this issue does arise. So I feel that Representative Roblin feels very comfortable with what we're going to be doing at the department. But I do want to just repeat for the record a couple of the things about House Bill 3679, just for the record. Again, this interstate military compact is more restrictive than Oregon law on the admission of children of active military personnel. The compact has limits the establishment of a student's residency, so you have to have a parent or guardian or a person with the power of attorney. And under Oregon statute, you don't have to have power of attorney, you don't have to be a parent or a guardian, you could be a person in parental relationship. We have a much more expansive definition of residency for our students. So for students, especially like say in these tough economic times, when you know families lose jobs and kids might be staying with an aunt or an uncle or things like that, as the parents move around looking for work, they can stay residents of their local school district. So the compact is much more restrictive than current Oregon law. And if we were if this committee was interested in working this compact and moving it forward, we need to have some specificity. There are some parts of the compact that are not clear how they'd be implemented in Oregon. Again, it designates the creation of a state compact council. It designates that there needs to be a military family education liaison, a compact commissioner here in Oregon. And the way the compact's written, it doesn't specify, is that a Department of Education role? Is that the role of the Office of the Governor? Is that the role of the military department? That would need to be clarified. And one other thing that I just wanted to repeat for the record, again, by signing on to this compact, you're giving the interstate if this were to pass into law, the legislature would be giving the Interstate Compact Commission the authority to assess and collect a fee for operating the federal commission. So this commission at the federal level in D.C. could put an assessment on the state of Oregon if we signed on to the compact to pay for their operations. The other thing, and not to be repetitive again, but Cindy Hunt, who is our legal affairs coordinator for the Department of Education, spent about 15 years at Legislative Council drafting most of the education statutes that we have today, believes there are separation and delegation of powers issues with the compact that would violate the Oregon Constitution. So if the committee were thinking about moving this bill forward, we recommend that probably have a conversation with Mr. Taylor and Legislative Council about ways to alleviate that concern. The last point is the bill as drafted again would create a fiscal impact for most likely Department of Education, but again that would be at your discretion as to which agency you'd want to house these various compact commissioners and staff folks, probably in the range of about $30,000 a biennium. So that's just something else to consider in these difficult budget times. But again, The thing I wanted to make clear is, you know, page 13 of the bill, it starts Article 14 on line 36, and that's where it gives this federal commission the authority to assess fees on Oregon. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have, and we'll leave it at that.
Thank you. I appreciate you raising the issue about their authority to the compact commission, this authority to collect an assessment from states. That was the piece of the bill that caused me heartburn, something over which we'd have no control. And then I tried to go technologically advanced, and now I've lost the thing that I had up on the screen, and I can't find the verbiage. So I'll just thank you for bringing up that particular issue. And for the committee, before we get to questions, I would like to support the testimony that you've heard. I had a conversation just before committee with Representative Roblin, who was here to talk about this at our interim committee. He was unable to make it today because of a conflict, and he assured me that he felt that he had reached agreement with the Department of Education to carry forward these conversations, and that he is not advocating that the bill move forward at this particular point in time. I went back and took a look at House Bill 2348 from 2009, which was the same issue, and some of the conversations that we had at that time. And my notes indicate a comment about, isn't there something we can do by rule for the those issues that we might need to deal with, or that the department can come up with. I think that it's important that we revisited the issue to sort of remind the department that this is a concern of all of us who don't want our military mm-hmm. children to be in any way impacted adversely. And then I was reminded that NOAA Corps falls under this statute too, and because we really do hope to be having some new residents in our school system in Oregon in the near future, I want to make sure that their educational process is not adversely impacted. But I have Representative Roblin's assurance that he's comfortable with the direction that your conversations are going. With that, are there further questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and just a quick follow-up. I did have a chance to talk to Representative Roblin also, and he assured me that there would be further conversations to make sure we look for any opportunity to ease the transition of children moving in and out of the state for education purposes. I do want the Department of Education to realize, and you stated it very well, and I'll try to be as clear as the Chair was on this issue, the importance of these particular children having the ease to get into our education system. By definition, they are the children of the very military that's protecting our country. And because of that, I think it's very important we look for every opportunity to make the transition as easy as possible. And thank you for doing so.
Thank you, Representative Stigler.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And I echo some of the same sentiments. And I guess my concern is always this. When something is in rule, it frankly is a lot easier to change. And I know intimately the Department of Education's rulemaking process, and I just would caution us not to look at that as the panacea to resolve any of the issues that I think Representative Roblin, the concerns he's appropriately raised in this regard, not to look at that as the panacea to resolution of this. I mean, those can change.
Absolutely.
They can be very fluid, so I just don't want to see us thinking, oh, phew, it's solved, just because it may be taken care of in rule.
And Representative Stigler, that's a very good point, and I think to make this as clear as possible to the committee, the compact would add no new protections to students. Mm-hmm. Both federal and state law already should address all these issues. I think what's happening is that, you know, some school district somewhere may not be appropriately applying the protections that are already in place. And so that's what we're going to work with Representative Roblin to make that very clear and call that out as crystal clear as possible. And it's a good reminder to our folks in schools about, you know, when these kids come back. So that's what we're going to do, is just really make that crystal clear, a good reminder.
Follow up, Madam Chair. That's right. And I would appreciate appreciate that, because I think that's an appropriate role for the department to take in these kinds of situations.
Thank you. Representative Boone.
Thank you. Are we going to hear from the military on this today?
If they wish to participate, I will be inviting them next. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to, first of all, thank you for your enlightenment here. And the one thing that bothers me, in addition to the things that have already been stated, is the fact that, you know, Oregon law is more supportive of this than the compact. Our parenting regulations are much more flexible, and I'd hate to see us tighten that down.
Representative Riley, that's a very good point. It was actually this legislature during the 2007 session that we had in the Education Committee's had a discussion about that, and that's where that more expansive definition of person in parental relationship to sort of reflect the realities of our families and mm-hmm. their situations.
Thank you. Any other comments directed to Mr. Allen? Okay, seeing them, thank you very much. Would members of the back row like to participate? Well, I feel like I need binoculars to see who's in this room. Because you came early, huh?
Yeah, it's like never sit up front.
Yeah. They were obviously here early. Yeah. Yeah, good seats.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, I'm the Deputy Director of the Military Department. We sit at the back so we can be close to the door. Nobody can get behind us. You know, it's just bad habits, I guess, you can create over the years. But we certainly, the Oregon National Guard is certainly not indicative of what this compact is trying to adjust or correct. Unlike the active duty, Oregon's good news, bad news story for Oregon. We don't have a major military base in this state, so therefore we don't have a good deal of active duty military members that are coming and going, as you will say at the state of Washington, where you have major naval operations and major army operations. So some of what this compact is trying to correct in some of these other states simply doesn't exist here, because we don't have that number of transient soldiers and airmen and seamen, et cetera. So I think that as I read the compact, it was pretty well, you know, looking at that major military installation and a lot of transition. We've got some, obviously there's recruiters that come in from all the branches that are scattered around the state of Oregon. I would estimate that it's somewhere between 300 and 500 people, you know, here in the state that are considered active duty. NOAA certainly is going to be part of the bill, I see, so that they would certainly have an impact. I don't know what the number is coming into Newport, but it's substantial. But again, I think it boils down to what happens at the local level with the people that are operating our schools today. And I know that the bill cited some anecdotal evidence that some students would leave one place and end up in another state and basically not get credit for things they'd already done or lose opportunities, and I think that's a shame. But again, I don't know that I've never heard of that with our soldiers, and I've not heard it with respect to the active duty folks that are here for recruiting purposes either. It could happen. Certainly wouldn't say that it doesn't, but I think it's going to be in a fair, small situation. Having said that, I got to relate this story. I heard it years ago, and I believe it was Goldie Hawn was on with Johnny Carson, and there was she was commenting about she told him, she said, I didn't know who Richard Stans was, because she was a military brat and moved from post to post, and figured that every time that she got there, they'd either just taught it or they were about to teach it, and she left and went to another post. And finally, Johnny Carson said, well, I don't understand. What do you mean, Richard Stans? And she said, well, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and for the Republic, for Richard Stans. And I think, you know, in some respects, I think military kids do get that feeling, just like in that respect, because they just get there for something, just miss something else. So I think it really boils down to, do we have competent, caring professionals in the schools, which I think in Oregon we do, and will they work with that individual on an individual basis to make sure that they're in the right spot? And everything I've heard from the Department of Education when this came up before, that's happening very thoroughly and very efficiently throughout the state. So Those are my comments, and certainly I don't have a dog in the fight one way or the other, given where we're at and how we do business.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the good general? My question, I guess, is that I then take that as a commitment from you to work directly with the Department of Education to make anything we need to happen for the students that we do have involved.
Madam Chair, indeed. Again, we our people move around the state, and it happens. We pull somebody out of Ontario and assign them in Coos Bay, so it's not unusual that we do that. It's just that we don't have the volume, and I think, again, we're more than willing to work with the Department of Ed. We've got a great relationship with them because, in essence, they're part of our partnership with our Youth Challenge Program we run in Bend, and so we work directly with them in the Bend-Lapine School District, so we're very familiar with them, and we certainly will do anything they would ask.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir.
Yet.
Yes,
Representative
sir.
Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. General Caldwell, thanks again for your testimony and your expertise. Always appreciated. Do you have any idea why the compact was just targeted towards active duty members and doesn't have a broader base of support for our other soldiers?
Madam Chair, Representative Matthews, I fully believe that it was targeted at that population because prior to probably the last decade, the military almost religiously on a 2 or 3 year basis would move everybody. I mean, they had this constant shuffle going on. And I know that there were plenty of examples throughout the through that period where the instability of families and education was a huge concern by the Department of Defense. And one of their solutions was to extend, you know, the stays of people at a certain post. So they didn't get this 2 to 3 to 4 year movement. They were actually trying to hold them in place for at least 5 years. And I think that's probably why, when you look at why this came about, was that because of that transition that was the norm, and also that based on the earlier part of this decade, the previous decade, I guess, you know, we had a fairly significant economic downturn, and a lot of family members, former military members who had got out, had families, got back in for economic reasons. So their school population started growing as well. So I think if you put those two together, you see what they used to do. They were replete with examples of that very thing I mentioned about somebody just not getting treated properly because they had had the education, they weren't synced up. So I think that's probably what really drove this compact, was to try to get everybody synced up in this focus that DOD did on families. This is DOD sponsored. This isn't, you know, a good idea by a lobby group or an association. This is the Department of Defense is sponsoring this compact. So I think they're trying real hard to get stability in the school systems across the board. The other thing you might just keep in mind as you think about this, the DOD runs a major school system.
Yeah.
I mean, all the military bases have a DOD-run school system. So I would think that, you know, that the majority, in fact, as I've read studies and articles about parents, soldiers' parents, one of the reasons they're staying on active duty, even though with deployments and everything else, is because of the valuable asset they had in that school system with their kids in a very stable school system that was fully funded, unlike other school systems. So, it's incredible to see what they've been able to do because they did, and I think that's been a product of the last decade of Congress focusing on this. So I suspect that all come together is what caused it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Just a comment, if you will.
No. Yeah, see if anybody else wants to testify.
Oh, yes.
Is there anyone else who wanted to comment on this particular question before us today? Seeing no one, Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just, I think in the spirit of kind of what's developed on this issue, that we talk a little bit about how we can get our state schools within the state of Oregon to at least have the conversation about how we can best serve all military, not just those that are active duty. And I know that their intent is to look out for the best of the children, but unfortunately our reality is that a lot of our citizen soldiers, their children are staying with their grandparents and being shipped across the state to other homes to stay for that 1 year, 18-month period. And I can see how they could be impacted negatively as well. So I hope that's part of our conversation as we move this forward. And I do see the importance, as we all do. It feels a little odd not to, actually bring to vote and pass something that feels like it would be so right to do, but knowing the impact that it would have and the fact that it would absolutely somewhat cripple the law now, we obviously can't do that. But I'm looking forward to seeing us progress towards something we can move with. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that these conversations are not limited by language to active duty, which actually, by not acting on this bill, frees us up to have more productive conversations.
Absolutely.
On the needs of Oregon students and or students who are attending school in Oregon. Seeing no other comments before us, I will close this meeting of the House Veterans and Emergency Services. Thank you.